Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are off and rolling on a Thursday, August 28, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show, Connor Dunning, on X at CDunning99. So we had a plan for the first segment to talk about tonight's college football games. You have some really good matchups. Boise State taking on USF, Nebraska and Cincy. But we're going to wipe that clean because we just got some breaking news into the 92.9 FM studios. Micah Parsons has been traded, Connor Dunning. Your immediate reaction, where are we at? He is traded to the Packers and he has a new deal.
Our first segment got hit by a nuke. That just insane deal. I kind of love it for the Packers. We're going to have to see what happens to the Cowboys. Here's what I will say, though. If you are a Cowboys fan and you're feeling down about this deal, thinking of you, Christian Fowler, thinking of you right now. But if you're a Cowboys fan and you need something to do to lift your spirits, do you know what they can do, Gabe Kuhn? They can come to General Knowledge Trivia tonight at Hampline at 7 p.m. to have a couple Hampline beers, have a great pizza, spend some time with good people, and get your mind off of Micah Parsons no longer being on your team anymore. Holy crap. What a deal. We have been blessed by the radio gods. I am very excited to talk about this. I am also very excited that we don't have to talk about this anymore.
Yes.
We don't have to talk about Jerry Jones anymore.
Micah Parsons could buy a lot of Hampline beer.
I think he could buy Hampline.
Yeah, he probably could. Probably could. But we do have 3 hours to talk on the way courtesy of 92.9.
Loaded
FM,
show
ESPN
today.
And yours truly.
Loaded.
We're absolutely loaded up. I'm very glad that today is the day we bring on Kyron Samuels at 4:30. But then 5 o'clock, no Jeff Calkins today. He's off. Bring on Braden Fajoco. Now, he is freshly out of work in the NFL. Just got cut by the Steelers, released by the Steelers. But he's now working with DraftKings. He's doing his own thing on his channel. So we'll talk to him about this deal and what it means for the Cowboys, what it means for the Packers. And then 6 o'clock, first of very many throughout the season, the exclusive interview every week on Memphis Radio. With Ryan Silverfield, head coach of the University of Memphis. Then we'll have a trip around the NFL, blitz at 6:30. All right, so here are the details that we need to get to. Cowboys are trading 3-time All-Pro, in 4 years, by the way, linebacker Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers and Parsons already have reached an agreement on a deal that was negotiated by none other than David Mulugeta, the guy that Jerry Jones did not want to talk to. Now, we know that Micah Parsons requested a trade, although he has said in the past he wants to be with the Cowboys for life. But here is the deal, Connor. 4 years, $188 million. Year one of the contract will land him $62 million. It includes $120 million fully guaranteed with $136 million guaranteed in general. And it makes Micah Parsons, without question, by a pretty landslide of an amount, by $5 million full dollars, the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. New contract, $136 million guaranteed and $47 million per year. This is a landmark deal, and I don't know what the Cowboys are doing or thinking at this moment, and I don't know what the city of Dallas has in the water. GMs continually make terrible decisions with guys that are 25 and 26. We just had the Luka Doncic deal, right? You send him from the Mavericks to the Lakers. And now you have Micah Parsons at age 26, having made three all-pro teams in four seasons, one of the best edge rushers in the league, double-digit sacks every year of his career, has played just about every game besides four last season. He is traded to the Packers in the prime of his career. This is unbelievable. I felt something was coming. There's been a lot of rumors about the Packers being engaged in trade talks with the Cowboys about Micah Parsons.
Yep.
But I did not expect this to happen at this particular moment.
Well, we talked about it on Monday. Over the weekend, reports came out that the Packers were really trying to go after Micah Parsons, and they offered a lot to the Dallas Cowboys, but they were not taking offers at the time. And then I think it was either late last night or early this morning, we got reports that the Cowboys, for some reason, just now started taking calls and actually listening to trade offers for Micah Parsons. And then, boom, you now have two 26-year-old generational talents traded out of Dallas in the same year to two historic franchises of the sport. One of the Los Angeles Lakers, one the Green Bay Packers. It's one of those deals. Listen, I understand this is an unbelievable amount of money. I understand that. I absolutely love it for the Green Bay Packers.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. They needed some edge help. They have a quarterback that they trust. They brought in wide receiver Matthew Golden, who has looked good throughout camp, and they feel good about him and in the connection with Jordan Love. Defensively is where they needed help, and I can't think of a better source of defensive help than Micah Parsons, this movable chess piece, one of the best edge defenders in the entire league, creates havoc, TFL, sacks, all of that. This is insane to me, though, on the Cowboys side. I can't understand. I don't know what the return is for Micah Parsons at this point, who was set to play on the franchise tag or the fifth-year option tag, whatever it was, for the Cowboys. But here's a stat that I can't get out of my mind. Since Micah Parsons has come into the league, and I know advanced analytics can be lost on some, right? The EPA per play and the DVOA. But in 4 years, when Micah Parsons is on the field for the Dallas Cowboys, they lead the entire NFL first in EPA per play. When he is off the field, which has not been very often, the last four games of last year, they're 32nd, they're dead last in EPA per play. So I think when I look at something like that, and I look at the meaning he had in that locker room, the meaning he had for that defense and their production, if you want to try to sell me that Dak's healthy, that CeeDee Lamb's gonna make some moves, that George Pickens is going to take that offense to a new level, that defense can still be okay without Micah Parsons, I'm not hearing you. I'm not hearing any competitive conversations about the Dallas Cowboys going into 25-26 now that they have traded Micah Parsons. It's very clear to me, as we have talked about in the past, Jerry Jones is much more concerned about the dollars he gets and butts in the seats, creating drama off the field, corporate sponsors. He's not worried about winning, because if he was worried about winning, he would sign back a three-time All-Pro in 4 years that's 26 years old and one of the best edges in the league. This is unreal. But for the Packers, absolutely unbelievable deal. I think this immediately, as long as he stays healthy and they can avoid some of those, because he hasn't played in camp. Let's be very clear. He's been taking naps.
A bunch of
contact. He's taking naps on the training table at the final preseason game.
Honestly, good for him.
For the Packers, I think this puts them in a different stratosphere in the NFC. You now have that game-wrecking defensive player that you feel comfortable with going into the season.
I mean, you talked about yesterday the Cotton Bowl Memphis Tigers team, and you mentioned on air, if Micah Parsons wasn't in that game,
and
you think that the Tigers may have been able to win.
I was like, that's
a bold take. And then during the break,
I read off his stat line.
You read off his stat line, and it was basically a full season stats for some players.
It was 14 tackles, two TFLs, two sacks, two forced fumbles. That's what it was.
That's a game record.
He'll no longer be playing in that stadium, by the way.
That is true. By the way, Micah Parsons has already, on his social media accounts, he has sent out a video talking about the Green Bay Packers and how excited he is to go there, and he has a statement to Cowboys Nation. And I read through the statement. I cannot make this clear enough. There is not a single thank you to the Cowboys organization. The only thanks he gave were to the city of Dallas and Cowboys Nation. Not a single mention, not a single mention of the actual organization, the Dallas Cowboys. Only to Cowboys Nation and the city of Dallas.
I just, okay. Here's the thing about the Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons saga that I can't quite understand. Jerry Jones, among other things, understands that star power rules the day, right? Back in the day when he's winning Super Bowls, you have Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, you have Emmitt Smith, Charles Haley, guys that really, you know, took the league by storm, that were big names, that really sold that organization to the masses, America's team, that whole thing. Why would he be so willing to not get a deal done with Micah Parsons and move off of him, knowing that that is how he has made his money in the past? Like, it goes against his philosophy in a lot of ways not to have that type of star in your organization on your roster playing for you. I'm dumbfounded. I truly am. Week four of the season should be an absolute movie. Sunday night football, it'll be Cowboys at home versus the Packers on NBC.
Has that just become one of the most anticipated regular season games of the season?
Absolutely. Without
question. I mean, Micah Parsons.
Because it's different. Like, sometimes you'll get trades like this, and there's no real hard feelings. And, you know, you can move on and – you know, we'll always talk about return games for players like Micah Parsons. But this situation devolved to a point where there's personal relationships that will never be mended. And also, going back to the conversation that we've had multiple times, we just got news of what the return was for Micah Parsons. We'll get to that in a second. But going back to the conversation about the Cowboys and Jerry Jones and sort of what their plan is going into the future, I don't grasp what they're doing. I don't have any feel for what's next. What they plan on doing to replace Micah Parsons, what they plan on doing to replace that star power, where are they going to spend their money? It's just such a strange occurrence. When you have a player like this in his prime, 26 years old, barely misses games, 3 times an All-Pro in 4 years, to trade him and have that happen, I'm absolutely lost. Now, we do have the trade terms, and it looks incomplete. Adam Schefter is clearly, like, beside himself trying to get these tweets out right now. What we do know is that in return, the Cowboys receive Kenny Clark, D-tackle, who I played against when he was at UCLA, and then 2 first-round picks. And I think there's going to be more on top of that. We'll let you know as it rolls in.
But how old is Kenny Clark? 36 years old.
Is he?
36.
Are we sure?
I think somebody tweeted it out.
I'm not sure if he's that old. If he is, that kind of amazes me.
Oh, he's 29.
He's 29. Yeah, he's 29.
Oh, I got caught by somebody.
Yeah. You got Sintel.
What is the comparison of Kenny Clark and Micah Parsons? Is there one?
There's not a comparison. Kenny Clark's a good player, though. He's a starting defensive tackle. What's funny is about this whole thing is the Cowboys have been trying to find a good defensive tackle and run defender. Kenny Clark can provide that. But now you don't have any edge help. Now you don't have any absolute game wrecker to play alongside Kenny Clark. So they accomplished the goal that was there when they had Micah Parsons, but now you don't have Micah Parsons.
Has Kenny Clark recorded 12-plus sacks in 4 of the last 5 seasons?
No, he hasn't done it.
No, don't think so. 2 firsts, pretty good, though.
Where do the Cowboys go from here? Because the ongoing conversation I wanted to have, too, is now that this has been done with Micah Parsons and David Mulugeta, what we know about him as an agent is, especially with this contract, most guaranteed money and salary money of any agent in the NFL. The Cowboys have burnt these bridges, not just with Micah Parsons and David Mulugeta, but with agents that are watching this, with players that are watching this. They see, I can do the best possible things. I can outperform my contract with the Dallas Cowboys, and they won't pay me on the back end. They don't feel comfortable paying me my due. That's a bad thing for the future for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversations about this one. Felt different for a lot of reasons, because it just feels like Jerry Jones has come out and now said, and he literally said it, winning is not his priority. It's not his priority. Taking care of his players is not his priority. It is being in the news, good or bad. Having drama, good or bad. That is the priority for Jerry Jones. Because he believes, and to be honest with you, it's hard to argue against him when he is, you know, when the Dallas Cowboys are the most valuable franchise in all of sports, that being in the headline and having drama ultimately makes them money. And Jerry Jones cares about making money. He doesn't care about winning football games anymore. He just simply does not care about winning football games. He has said it multiple times. And I think that this Micah Parsons fiasco has proven, it's a final proof, in my opinion, to the rest of the league and players and agents, that if you want to be taken care of and if you want to have a career where you can make as much money as you possibly can, or even be paid,
Cowboys aren't the place to go.
Or even be paid what is fair value for your production, the Cowboys aren't the place to go. Because you have an owner that thinks he's bigger than the team, you have an owner that doesn't care about winning, and you have an owner that's going to try to drag your name through the mud and talk about the games you've played and your stats incorrectly. I still can't get over that. He stepped into a mic and he tried to talk about Micah Parsons, and he got the number of games he missed wrong. If you're going to talk bad about a player, at the very least, get that right. In my opinion, and Adam Schefter just sent this out, these are the terms. The Cowboys are getting Kenny Clark and two firsts. That's it for Micah Parsons? Why? So Jerry Jones can feel like he won something? Absolute joke.
How about this? Micah Parsons is one of only three players to record 12-plus sacks in at least four of the last five seasons, and he's being traded away. I don't understand it. And here's the thing about the drama conversation. Because part of me gets the thinking of, like, okay, create drama, stay in the headlines, all of that. But there's two things I want to mention on that front. One, you're America's team. You're the Cowboys. You don't have to drum up drama out of thin air to get headlines. On First Take and on Get Up, they're going to talk about you. It's just how it is. It's just like the Lakers and the Celtics and the NBA. It's just like, you know, the Yankees when it comes to Major League Baseball. You're going to be talked about. You don't have to drum up drama anymore. Maybe in the 90s when you were doing the switch over and you had to, you know, go through some lean years, maybe you had to drum up some drama to get people to pay attention. But those days are gone. You have Cowboys fans, not just nationwide, but worldwide. It's not just a Dallas organization. This is a worldwide, international organization that finds support internationally. So I don't get the idea behind the drumming up of random drama to try to create headlines.
I think it's old-school thinking.
It's old-school thinking. It's probably how he had to think in the 90s when he took over the team, but that's not the reality we live in today. But then also on top of that, if you're creating drama, like, okay, you can go through this, you can create this drama with Micah Parsons on the extension front, but in the end of the day, you can create that drama and then sign him back and have him on the team and have him on the field and have him producing for you. You didn't have to trade him away to create this level of drama, because now your team is actively worse than it was the past 4 years when he was on it. It further takes us down the path, which we've been here for probably a decade.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones has to take his hands off of personnel decision making and negotiations, or this Cowboys franchise is going to be mediocre at best.
Two things. Sparky Pfeiffer, friend of the program, has hosted the program before when Gabe was out, is very, very happy with this deal. He was like, I don't even need to know who the frontline player is. This was before we found out that it was Kenny Clark. He's like, this is a great trade. It makes, and I actually think there is a weird beauty in Jerry Jones and the Cowboys trading Micah Parsons to the franchise that doesn't have an owner.
Like, yes, like that, there, city owned.
There is a beauty in that. And once again, we say it all the time, sports find a way to be poetic. And this is just another example of that, where arguably, you know, I wouldn't call Jerry the worst owner because he that team does make money. One of the worst GMs in the game, though, because he is the GM of the Dallas Cowboys, trading a guy to an ownerless team that loves football and is going to lose their minds over somebody like Micah Parsons.
Yes.
I absolutely love
Welcome
it.
Welcome him with open arms.
It's great for Micah Parsons. It's great for the Packers. And I'm going to be honest with you. No disrespect to Kenny Clark. Just I'm not trying to disrespect him. This is a fleece, it feels like, by the Green Bay Packers.
Anything,
getting two first.
Can we be honest?
Really
anything
good,
would have been like, a fleece if you're sending out Micah Parsons. There's nothing that can make up for that. There's just nothing.
Greg Jennings is running around the first things first set right now.
I don't blame him. Also, did you see Michael Irvin before the trade hit 23 minutes ago on ESPN? He was asked about the ongoing trade talks, which we learned about today. I was going to bring it up in around the NFL, but we don't have to bring it up anymore. He said there's no way that Mike is going anywhere. I'm going to have to rethink that one. It's just, it's wild. Dallas, as a city, is known as the bag fumbling city right now, right? Bad GM work and bad decision making between Nico Harrison and Jerry Jones.
Does this make the Packers a contender?
I thought they were a contender anyway. But absolutely. 100%. No doubt. So let me ask you this. What do you think about the contract? This is not like, because TJ Watt was the last one to get paid, $42 million
per year. It's a huge jump in the market.
$47 million. I was thinking about this.
Who's next
up? Aiden Hutchinson, Jared Verse. I don't know. He's in his 30s. Yeah. And we'll talk about him a bit later and sort of the reason the Bengals didn't want to pay him all that money. But, like, if you're a young edge coming into the league, Abdul Carter eventually.
I was just about to say Abdul Carter.
You have to be over the moon.
Yeah.
Seeing where the market just reset to. You have to be beside yourself. Your agent has to be beside themselves right now. Those guys are next in line as long as they keep producing.
Now, let me ask you this. What does this do to the NFC North?
You know how I feel about the Lions. I'm in a weird spot with them because they had to replace so many coaches.
Bad day for the Lions.
The Packers, they'll still be good.
Yeah, for sure. But
the Packers were already a good team, already a playoff team. Now they just put themselves in a different stratosphere. As long as Micah Parsons can stay healthy, they have some ramp-up plan. I think they now, I want to see what the market does. I want to see what Vegas does with this. I think I put the Packers as the favorites to win the NFC North.
Wow.
I think that's what I would say. No? You feel any differently? And the Vikings could be scrappy if J.J. McCarthy shows up. And of course, the Bears are there.
I think I would still pick the Lions, but I can't really argue against the Packers. It feels like a coin flip between the two of them now. And this is, selfishly, one of the first thoughts I had when this trade got made, Gabe. Oh, I haven't had my fantasy drafts yet. That Packers defense just became prime.
Relatively valuable. There's no doubt. This is blockbuster. Unreal. And I'm getting a text from Kyron Samuels right now, so that's great. Let's go ahead and get to Kai, because I need to discuss this with him.
I bet he has thoughts.
Let's grab a break. We'll talk Micah Parsons on the other side with Kyron Samuels right here on 92.9 FM. Yes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're just now joining us, Micah Parsons, edge for the Cowboys, has officially been traded to the Green Bay Packers for Kenny Clark, a defensive tackle from the Packers, and two first-round picks. The Packers will pay Micah Parsons 4 years, $188 million, making him the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history, $47 million per year, $136 million guaranteed. And to talk about it, we bring on Kyron Samuels. He's an NFL and college football writer and analyst for Sports Illustrated and a national scout at Clutch Sports. Kai, what the hell? What the hell's happening? I mean, what is this? What's Jerry doing?
Listen, we play football games in less than 2 weeks, and this is going on. This is unprecedented in its entirety in general, but when you put it to the context that they're going to have to integrate this guy into the defense, they're going to have to figure out his role, but it's a fantastic problem to have. I mean, you can't ask for a better player, arguably the best defensive player in the NFL. I don't think many people would object to that, especially when you factor into the equation that he's only 26 years old, that he's coming off an incredible year. He has historic pressure rates, double team rates, whatever you want to throw at the book. This guy's at the top of that list. So when you get a player of this caliber, to me, I don't think they gave up very much to get him, the Packers, that is.
Right.
You couldn't have asked for a better deal if you are the Green Bay Packers.
Let me ask you this. Connor and I talked about this at the break. Do you even care about the money that they just spent? Is that even a conversation at all? $47 million, highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Does that even cross your mind as, did they overpay? Is that too much money? Are they locking themselves up? Does that cross your mind?
Not at all. I mean, let's look at the history of the NFL. Most of the time, and this is a team that has real Super Bowl aspirations. They've been to the playoffs the last two seasons. They've won a playoff game. They are a team that truly believes they have their franchise quarterback in Jordan Love. They're a team that has a lot of offensive weapons. They've invested on both sides of the ball. They feel like they're one or two pieces away, and this is the type of guy that can be that albeit factor that really pushes them over the edge. And I think this is beyond money at this point, definitely beyond those picks. And you know how I feel about those picks. If you take two first-rounders to get Micah Parsons and a quality player in Kenny Clark, that's nothing compared to what this guy is going to be able to do for that defense. And I'm not guaranteeing anything, but if you're just talking about a process move, a move that follows the train of thought that we are a Super Bowl contender and we need this one piece to push us over the top, you couldn't have asked for a better deal or a better player in that equation. This is a win all the way around for the Green Bay Packers.
What is hilarious about the Cowboys acquiring Kenny Clark at age 29 is Kenny Clark's a damn good player. He's been a damn good pro for years and years and years, always has played with the Packers. He was the type of guy that they needed for their run defense as a defensive tackle alongside Micah, right? Like, this was the type of piece that they have needed for the past couple of years with the Mozzie Smith draft pick not panning out the way it has. But, okay, you solve that problem, but now you have the biggest problem in the world. You don't have a playmaking defensive lineman at this point if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that's the difficult part about this if you're a Cowboys fan, regardless of, the trade itself and, the factors that went into it and what you got back. But when you look at the defense, Michael Parsons made them right so many times. He's the guy that was the eraser. He's the guy we talk about on the college level, like a guy like, Caleb Downs, who just makes everything right for the defense no matter what. That was Michael Parsons for the Dallas Cowboys. Now you have a Trayvon Diggs who, is a good defensive back, but he's coming off injury. He has to reintegrate himself into the defense. You have the aging middle linebacker situation. You have guys that are just not standard of the Cowboy defense that we've come to be used to. And Micah Parsons was the guy that made all of that right. So when you have that guy going now, it's hard to sit there and look at those guys, especially a Dak Prescott's face, a CeeDee Lamb's face, and tell them that we're trying to win Super Bowls, that we're going to be a serious contender when you make moves like this for a player that, like I just said, is arguably the best defensive player in the entire NFL. You can't lose a guy like that.
Yeah, and you work in the agency space for Clutch Sports, your national scout for them. Like, what does this and the broken relationship with Jerry Jones and not working with David Mulugeta, who has signed more players to big contracts than any other agent in the National Football League, what does this do for relationships going forward for the Dallas Cowboys with players and otherwise and agents?
Yeah, I mean, it puts them in a precarious situation. When you talk about a guy like Micah Parsons, we're not talking about, a first-round pick that played well, that had, a couple double-digit sack seasons and, just looking to get paid. Like I said, I want to keep reiterating. We're talking about arguably the best defensive player, the best non-quarterback in the entire NFL. So when that type of guy is getting disrespected, that type of guy is getting brushed aside, and we can say the same thing about David Mulugeta. He's as respected in his field as Micah Parsons is in his. If those are the type of people that are getting pushed to the side and disrespected and cast aside like they're, not worthy, it's going to speak volumes to everybody else about how they should approach the business or how we shouldn't approach the business with the type of guy like this. And it kind of speaks to the nature of the beast in terms of the cycle. We're towards the end of that cycle with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And I think there's even been a little bit of friction. If you paid attention, Stephen Jones, his son, who, pretty dang good at what he does, there's even been a little bit of friction in the philosophy there in terms of what they've said to the media and how they've gone about things. So I think we're nearing the end of that cycle, if I'm going to be honest about that.
The tough situation there for the Cowboys in the GM position is you have an owner GM in Jerry Jones. So, he's not going to fire himself. He's not going to do that, right? Like, if this was any other GM in the National Football League, this would be the beginning of the end. He'd be fired. But Jerry Jones ain't going to do it to himself. Right? Like, that's not how this is going to work, and we've seen it in the past.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a situation where there'll have to be a mini coup for that to happen. And like you said, Jerry Jones isn't going to do it himself. But, listen, it gets to a point, right, where the cooler head's going to have to prevail here and get together, and at least there's going to have to be some type of, oversight or attempt. You can't just sit back and let this continue to happen, especially when you lose a player the caliber of Micah Parsons for what they got back for him. It's a ridiculous trade at face value, in my opinion. Time always tells, right? Like, we can look back in a couple of years, and I doubt this will happen. It's the least likely scenario in my mind. But let's say Micah Parsons doesn't play to the capability that we've come to be used to. And we look back, and it looks like a decent trade a few years from now. It doesn't feel like that right now. It feels like this is one of the worst trades in recent memory. Doug Farr, who's a guy that's a respected NFL journalist all over, he just wrote that, Jamal Adams, when he left the New York Jets, got two first-round draft picks back for his haul. So when you start to compare it to other deals that have gone on in the past and the other caliber of player, and we love Jamal Adams. The guy was a two-time All-Pro. He's a very good player, double-time bowl. He's earned the right to garner that type of haul when he was at his peak. But Micah Parsons should be getting way more than that. So there has to be a situation where you have to interject and at least try to get through. And like you said, it's probably not going to happen, but somebody has to be the one that tries.
As we try to make sense of this from the Cowboys side, can you come up, and I know you probably can't, okay? I get that. But I'm putting you on the spot. Can you come up with any reasonable explanation as to why Jerry and the Cowboys didn't want to pay Micah?
There's no reasonable example, in my opinion. I can't think of anything that I can liken to it that would kind of make sense of it. This is just silly, man. Like I said, this is a guy that truly, truly is probably the best non-quarterback in the NFL at 26 years old, the peak of his career. He's probably not going to get any better than he is right now. Talk about the level of player he is. That would be like an Aaron Donald. That would be like trading Aaron Donald. it's unfathomable. You can't think of a reason why this will happen, especially when you're getting a Dak Prescott back healthy. You pay CeeDee Lamb, the offensive line, is getting a little bit younger, and they're going to be very good. You have some of those guys getting into the prime of their careers where that's kind of coming back around. They're a team that should realistically be aiming for playoff position and then trying to get deep into the playoffs. This type of move completely nullifies that, in my opinion. You have an explosive offense, and now they're in the same boat as the Bengals, in my opinion, where they have all these expectations and these goals and these lofty dreams, but then they're not really putting their money where their mouth is when it comes time to invest in the team and kind of go forward with it. You can't just expect to get there because you have a veteran quarterback or you have a guy that's been there and done that before. This is the type of situation where the league is getting better and better every year. Look at the top of the team. At the top right now, we don't think the Cowboys are ready to compete with the likes of the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Eagles. even in their own division, the Commanders have done a fantastic job with revamping their roster and kind of loading up on that end. So it's a little bit frustrating, even from afar. I don't have anything to do with the Cowboys franchise, but it seems like they're going backwards and backwards every year, and that's just not the place you want to be, especially when you have a quarterback as talented as Dak Prescott. You have a guy like CeeDee Lamb, a wide receiver. You should be able to
– Added George Pickens
every year.
By the way.
George Pickens and Tyler Smith, who in my opinion is one of the two or three best interior offensive linemen, in the National Football League. Trayvon Diggs is coming back. I mean, they have talent. But when you make moves like this, it kind of nullifies it, and it pushes you, two or three steps behind, especially when you have a guy that is in the peak of his career playing at the level that he was playing at. I just can't make much sense of it.
Now, I know you and I both don't necessarily love advanced analytics, but I think this tells a story. In the 4 years that Micah Parsons has been a part of that defense, when he's on the field for the Cowboys, they are first in EPA per play on the defensive side of the ball. When he's off the field, they are dead last, 32nd. Just to sort of illustrate the meaning he had for that defense and really for that roster as well. You had Trayvon Diggs supporting him, CeeDee Lamb supporting him, everybody on that roster supporting him. There could be a roster revolt. Now, how if the Cowboys are going to get Jerry Jones to step back, I mean, what does that have to look like? Obviously, you talked about the inner coup, and it'd have to be Stephen Jones doing something, but that's his father, and I just watched the documentary on Netflix. He said he wants to enjoy every waking moment that his father's still around. But, like, this feels like a situation where Cowboys fans have to answer and not spend money, right? They have to answer using or not using their wallets, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tricky position, right? Like you said it, and we kind of talked about it. He's an owner and GM. They love the organization. The Jones family loves the organization. They love Jerry. They respect him. But I think it will have to take a guy that is at a high level position. And I don't want to throw his name out there like that. Will McClay, I think he's incredible. Yeah. He's the vice president of director of player personnel. And to me, he is one of the best in the NFL. I mean, if you look at the players they've drafted, he's been at the helm. They do a fantastic job of identifying and drafting talent. To me, it would take a guy like that leaving, or you have a couple of guys like within the organization that end up leaving, for something drastic to happen like that, where everybody has to take a step back and really evaluate what's going on and ask themselves, is Jerry at the helm the best thing for the organization? But, at the end of the day, we talk about it all the time. It's such a profitable business. They are, I think, I don't want to misspeak here. I know they are one of the most profitable organizations in all of sports, not just football, but soccer, basketball, baseball, what have you. They are one of the most profitable organizations in all of sports. So at the end of the day, as a businessman, I think that they consider what's going on a success. And if that's the case, it's going to be hard to really get through to them, because as long as the money's coming in, as long as we're all talking about the Dallas Cowboys every week, as long as they're still getting those Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night football games, and we're talking about them, it's going to be hard for them to view their entire process as a failure.
They're the most valuable team internationally in sport, $12.7 billion, and they don't want to pay their best player. I mean, that's insane to me. Now, for the Packers, I found this interesting. Connor and I talked about it off the top of the show. I was wanting to see what the line movement was going to be like. Now, I think they've boosted up a little bit to win the NFC North, the Packers have, with this Micah Parsons deal. But when it comes to winning a Super Bowl, they're right where they were pre-trade. Plus 1750, now it's still plus 1750. You look at that defensive line now and adding Micah Parsons to the fold. Rashawn Gary, very good. Devontae Wyatt, solid, definitely, will continue to take steps in the right direction. Luke Van Ness is a guy they took in the first round a couple of years ago. When you look at that Packers team, how likely do you think it is with Micah Parsons now that they win the NFC North, and how likely do you think it is that they really compete for an NFC championship for a Super Bowl?
You know, I think that's the funniest part about this conversation, is I don't think this trade changes all that much for the Packers.
Okay.
I think they believe it does, right? I think they make a move like this because, one, for the value, I think it's 100% warranted. Two, I think Micah Parsons is the type of player that you should believe can make that big of a difference for you, right? I mean, he's proven that he's one of the best, if not the best, non-quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think they believe that, but I'm not sure how much it changes. When you look at it, the Packers defense hasn't really been the issue in these big games. I think it's been truly a full team collapse. When you look at how they play to close ball games, when you look at the penalties that they've had, when you look at the turnovers that they've had, it's been a collective team issue, right? And I know having an elite defense is a part of that recipe, but I don't know if this move puts them ahead of even the Lions in the division. I still think the Lions, top to bottom, have the best roster in the division. I think that when you look at teams like the Eagles, the 49ers that are trying to, you know, resurge this year, when you look at teams like the Commanders, there's so much competition at the top in the NFC. I'm not sure this move puts them over the top. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to have a chance to maybe host a first-round playoff game. But like I said, I don't think this move changes all that much about the bottom line. I think it'll be a little bit closer. They'll be a little bit take one step further towards the goal. But I think they have some room to go, especially on the interior of the defensive line now, and I think on the interior of their offensive line.
Yeah. Now, for the Cowboys, I mean, you already mentioned it. You're completely – I mean, when it comes to talking about them being competitive or some playoff team, are you out? Because I know I am. Like, I just I do not feel good about what the Cowboys just did. No one does. But are you out on the Cowboys? Not that you were in, but are you out completely?
Yeah, I think they're going to be around an average ball club. I truly do. I think the offense has a chance to be very good. When you have Dak Prescott healthy, the offensive line healthy, and the receiver room, who should be pretty explosive when you look at George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, some of the young guys that they have, it should be a good offense. I believe that. But I don't think they're going to be a very good defense, and the division is so tough. The NFC is so tough. I think 9-8, 8-9 is probably around where I would have them. And I think that would be, you know, kind of peak and kind of maxing out with that roster. So definitely a little bit of a tough sledding period for them. But I'm excited to watch them play. As funny as all this sounds, we talk about all, you know, how bad the trade is, in my opinion, and all that. But I'm excited to watch that team play now because it's going to be a storyline every week. You're going to want to tune in to see how that thing goes. And I kind of feel bad that this is a first-year head coach having to deal with all this right before the season. So,
do you think Brian Schottenheimer knows he's not going to play week one now?
Oh, man.
He's been trying to paint it nicely. Oh, ramp-up period. He'll be limited week one against the Eagles. Yeah, no, he won't be. Yeah. He won't be. How much more important did that Week 4 Sunday night football game become? Packers-Cowboys. Packers visiting the Cowboys at that.
I mean, it becomes incredibly important now. I mean, just talk about from a pride standpoint. When you're going to be going up against Michael Parsons and you're the Cowboys, you're going to want to prove a point. You're going to want to make the world kind of second guess, hey, should this trade have been made? And I don't think you're going to change many people's mind there, but it'll be a huge moral victory if they're able to win that game. To kind of like get in their face. And then the inverse is also true. If you're Michael Parsons and you're going to go line up against those guys for four quarters and you have your way with them, it's kind of like, you know, you look crazy when if that what were to happen. So I'm interested to see it. I'm excited to see it. It's going to be – the entire world's going to be watching. It's going to be a standalone game. That's going to be fun for everybody.
The city of Dallas, though, I'll leave – we'll talk about this and then we'll let you roll. But the city of Dallas, just a tough year. Just a brutal year. Two 26-year-olds, peak of their prime, traded away for what seems like pennies at the moment.
Yeah, definitely tough on that end. Like you said, guys that are seemingly entering the peak of their career, not past their prime, not have a ton of potential. We're talking about top of the top. They're at their peak level right now, so that's super tough. And it's kind of disappointing because they can't even be all that excited about, you know, getting Cooper Flagg and Paige Beckers and some of the exciting young players that they've had, because these exciting, dominant players at the peak of their careers have been traded away. So hopefully the Dallas fans get something they can look forward to and they have some success eventually. But it's definitely been a tough year for them.
Yeah, before this happened, I was going to talk to you about the three top 10 matchups in college football. Do you have anything to drop there? I mean, as far as what you like, Ohio State, Texas, LSU, Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, anything before I let you roll?
I'll just give you my picks. I'll say I'm going to go with Texas to win that ball game against Ohio State. I think it'll be close. They'll pull that out. I'm going with Clemson to beat the LSU. I think that's going to be the game of the weekend. I think those two teams will probably both make the playoffs. I'm very excited about that matchup. I think that's the most that game will have the most talent out of any games. And I'm actually going Miami to beat Notre Dame. I think Miami is going to surprise a lot of people this year and be a playoff team. So I'm very excited about those three matchups and happy to have games with stakes right off the bat.
Yep, for sure. Well, Kai, great stuff, man. Wild day.
Wild day, man. Appreciate you guys. Have a good evening.
Yes, sir. He is Kyren Samuels, at Kyren Samuels on X, NFL and college football writer for Sports Illustrated, and national scout for Clutch Sports. You know, when it comes to the NFC North and the Packers now with Micah Parsons, I get where a lot of people look at that Lions roster and say, okay, they've been there, they've done that, made an NFC championship, they're ready.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Role. I have been sort of in the same spot with them in regards to replacing OC, DC, and just about their entire staff. So I always have had this thought that the Green Bay Packers were going to be at the top. This sort of furthers my expectation for them. But I think I understand why everybody still is favoring the Lions. Kyren just dropped that as well.
Yeah, it's understandable. We've seen the Lions do it recently, and we know the amount of talent that they have, and it feels like one of the things that held back the Lions last year, even with their amazing season, was injuries, and we expect them to be healthier this year. So if they are fully healthy, it's not too difficult for them, I think, to replicate what they did last year. Now, the two biggest obstacles to that is probably losing your top two coordinators. Like, that is a difficult thing to overcome, but the players are still there. Dan Campbell is still there. The NFC North is going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
It may have just become...
You have four real contenders,
yes,
truthfully.
And you already kind of did. And now, it's even more so now. I can't wait to watch the NFC North this season. I still cannot believe that the Dallas Cowboys only got two firsts in Kenny Clark for Micah Parsons. It's just... The value, it's just horrible, horrible
what's
value.
So,
it's becoming a Dallas tradition.
And I just saw
somebody
you sent me this.
Get Paige Beckers to a safe location immediately before they trade her.
You sent me this. Kenny Clark, for those that are not familiar with his game, he's been a solid player.
Yeah.
For the entirety of his career at the D-tackle position. Good run defender, all of that. But Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus put this out. Clark is 29 and coming off his worst year as a pass rusher with a 63.1 grade, and he's going to a similar four-down front in Dallas and hasn't had a single season run defense grade above 61.5 in 4 years, with his contract getting more expensive after this season. So the player return for Micah Parsons, just leave the picks out. Player return leaves a lot to be desired. There's just no doubt about it. All right, now we'll continue this conversation coming up next. With a guy who's played in the NFL, who's familiar with Micah Parsons, Braden Fajoco joins the show next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.